Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And before I introduce our very important guest, we're going to watch a short video.
Life in general is chaotic and a challenge for a typical person. However, when you add autism into the mix with an uncontrolled structure, it is not a good time for me. My brain literally cannot handle the uncontrolled structure. I will shut down. Things can become blurry. I get irritable and frustrated. I have gone into give up mode and sometimes even get defensive.
This is your brain on autism. Did you notice that the ball in this clip was moving, but moving somewhat slowly and controlled? I said in season 1, number 11 in my podcast, episode Autism Rocks and Rolls, our brains operate like a pinball machine. You may not understand, but we do. Raise your hand if you know someone who is on the autism spectrum. For those of you who do not raise your hand, now you can, because now we've just met, because I have autism, Asperger's to be exact, which we have met, so now you can raise your hand, like I said. What is autism, you might wonder? Good question. Autism is a bio-neurological development disability that generally appears before the age of 3, often those on the spectrum that like loud noises, have a hard time figuring out social cues.
And now that you've seen Sam Mitchell's part of his TED Talk, I'm going to introduce Sam. He is a very, very remarkable 22-year-old. He's a motivational speaker, an entrepreneur. He's done a TEDx talk, as you've seen. He's a blogger and educator and has a very inspiring purpose. And he has created a website and a podcast called Autism Rocks and Rolls. So anyway, Sam is going to tell you more about it. I'm so inspired by this young man. And welcome, Sam.
Well, how to add it. Thanks for letting me come on your show.
You're welcome. All right. So when, you know, most, I think you started your website when you were 20, right? What had you do something like that when you were 20 years old?
Well, my podcast, and mainly called Autism Rocks and Rolls, is a podcast about autism and how we cope with daily struggles that you may or may not understand. It started when my high school's media club, and I fell in love with it so much, I decided not to wait till college, which is where I'm at right now, to expand the skills. And that was when Autism Rocks and Rolls was born.
Okay, so you were in high school, and you were taking what kind of class?
Well, not classes, a club, media.
Okay, media. And so you decided to just get started, right?
Yep. After my club time was coming to an end, I didn't want to wait till college. So I think I need to do something with this knowledge I have retained.
Yeah. Wow. And so you picked the topic of autism, right? So that you could educate more people?
Yep. I'm saying that because I have autism. But for most of my life as well, I've been bullied, excluded, all the stereotypes that come with autism. Unfortunately, I did get bullied at a couple incidences at school. I also, sadly, was mainly excluded a lot because when I would chat with people, their eyes would get big as if what I said didn't fit in, which I thought fit in. But now looking back at it, I'm thinking, I'm not so sure.
Okay, so you would shout at people because...
Not shout, but chat with people because I wanted to fit in. But okay. I got big eyes and excluded for doing nothing.
So you were just trying to talk to them, right? Chat, that's what you're saying? And they didn't like it?
Yeah, but I thought I liked it. And I thought the remarks I stated were fitting in, but apparently not to them. But I think it was too because they don't like different. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when you are labeled different, you're going to get pushed off to the side.
Right. Now, were you in regular classes with them, or did you have special classes, or what?
I was in regular classes, but after we did the activity with the lecture or the notes, I would go to what they call the resource room to get extra time on tests or extra accommodations.
Okay. Wow. And where did you grow up? What part of the country?
Indiana, southern central-ish.
Oh, okay. All right. So when you graduated, you got into which school? I know you told me.
Vincennes University.
Okay. And what are you studying?
Broadcasting.
Broadcast. Okay. So you've had your show. You said you did them every 13 days. Why 13?
Well, it was 16, but then sponsors started not getting happy with me, so I shifted it to 13 because, in my opinion, it's enough to keep the listeners excited about the episode, but also enough to not do it bi-weekly because, in my opinion, you got to also keep their attention by making them anticipate a little bit.
Wow. And where is your podcast? Where can people find it?
All your favorite media social platforms on autismrocksandrolls.com, the website where the TED Talk was you showed. Mm-hmm. And then Podbean, Spotify. If you Google me a search engine optimization, something will pop up.
Wow. So are the people that you know, are they very impressed with you?
I like to think so. I mean, I guess I'm doing something right because people keep on listening.
Yeah. Do you know how many listeners you have?
I have 360, over 300 followers, and to date, total 20.2K downloads, I think.
Wow. Wow. So how do you publicize what you're doing?
Publicize? What do you mean by that?
Like, how do people find you? How do they know to listen?
Oh, well, go on the podcast is one thing for sure, but we got a Facebook page, Instagram page. I just try to also post resources to show that this movement is bigger than myself. Because back at a point when it first started, I was like, oh my goodness, look at what Sam can do with autism. Now it's look at what these other people plus Sam can do. Even though they might struggle with something social and have autism, they can still do things. I was able to do an interview on a news story about the Rhett Skelton Museum, which is in Vincennes, Indiana. And people probably think someone with autism wouldn't be able to do that. But I did. And I wrote the story by myself.
Mm.
And I also, may I add, had trouble breaking like the story up into small paragraphs. Mm-hmm. But I was able to do it by myself.
So I know what you were saying in the video, you had the ball, you know, you had the ball going back and forth, and you were saying it was like your brain. Can you explain about, I think there's all different kinds of autism, right? But do you know like what's different about the brain that has it, you know, work differently?
Well, there's definitely some with the mindset of a 3-year-old, as I like to call it, where they don't know how to use the bathroom. But then there's the mindset of me who's just a little developmentally delayed. But then there's some who's in the middle of the road who may have the mindset of an 8-year-old. Who can have one of an understanding. But the reason why I use pinball is there's something we all have in common. In my opinion, our brains don't stop.
Right.
Like, we keep going. We keep sometimes stimming. Let me put it this way. Sometimes sleep doesn't exist for us in the head. Now, can we physically sleep like that? Yeah. But for me, do I really do physically sleep? Yes. But is my brain shut up all the way? No. It's still ticking a little bit. Think of it as a pinball, but like the middle part doesn't exist. It's blocked off with a cement brick wall or something. It never goes in the hole.
Okay. So there's different levels of, when did you understand that you had autism when you were growing up? Like, how old were you?
I was 4 when I had it.
4?
Mm-hmm.
What, that's when they like diagnosed it or did something happen?
Diagnosis, but apparently beforehand, I was showing some pretty early symptoms. One of the main ones, and this is a lot in common, is instead of like playing with the toys that a child would mostly do, like smashing monster trucks together, instead of smashing them together, I would align them up and organize it with colors by wheel size or organize it somehow.
Hmm. Okay. And Is that with everybody, or that's just like, is that like OCD or something?
Not everybody, but mostly.
Mostly. So you like things.
But there are some relations. I mean, when you usually have autism, you typically don't come with just autism most of the time. There's been cases where it's just autism, but you usually come with a co-condition too. So maybe it's autism and ADHD. That's most cases and myself. Okay. But you talk about OCD, it could be autism and OCD. It could be autism and CP, cerebral palsy. Mm. Autism and sleep apnea, which is also something me I have. Or, coincidentally, autism and a food allergy, which is also something I got.
Wow. Okay, so the autism... Trying to think. There's like dyslexia. I have a friend who's, it wasn't dyslexia, but it was another, it was neuro, what's it called? Neurodiversity. Is this another form of neurodiversity?
Or yeah. The autism is a form of neurodiversity.
Okay. So I have a few friends who are, I don't know if they just found out they were, but they had different forms of it. And, you know, they're also doing a lot to let people know so that people know how to interact with people who have autism.
Right. Right. Well, and there's a lot of sources out there, too.
Yes.
For different people. There's some for teachers. There's some for parents. A recent episode I just came out was one about law enforcement. And that is a big one right there because these law enforcement agencies are scared. Sometimes would literally handle us because they don't know how.
Mm. Wow.
They are sometimes afraid we will punch a cop. Which I will admit, there are some people who would punch a cop. Now, would I do it? No. Trust me, my mom would have killed me if I did that. But there's definitely some people, because of an autism trigger, they're going to fight or flight by using fists to a cop.
So how would you train? I mean, how does the law enforcement know if they're a puncher or not? Like, how did you teach them how to interact with someone with autism?
Well, pretty much like any other human, but maybe minus the aggression, the force. Like, they're going in, bullets are flying, the chaotic scenes that you see in the media. Get rid of that for us. Honestly, walk in there. Peace like you would entering my friend's house, shake their hand, tell them what's going on. And then like if they are being aggressive, would I support slapping the cuffs on them? As much as it kills me to say it, yes. Because as a person with autism, it stings and it hurts to me to see that. But I also believe the cops need to be safe too.
Right.
If cops need to put on the handcuffs for their safety, do it.
So what's the difference if they're come across someone with autism or someone else? Like, what's, you know, you're saying they're scared. Why? Why more scared than another time?
They're scared because they won't know how to handle us. I mean, they're afraid of not getting punched in the face. They're scared of causing a scene with us because the media is going to think, oh, there's police brutality against us.
Mm. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, it's a complicated world these days, right? You can't just do your job.
You know? At some points, you really can. Luckily, I'm in a position where I can mostly do my job. I just have to watch my mouth because I'm a firm believer in the freedom of speech.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So you've got this podcast, you've got this website. Do you have other people that you're working with, or is it mostly by yourself?
I work with a lot of connections. I did a panel one time called Reimagining Success with this lady who had a podcast, except we really weren't going to be each other's guest because it just wasn't a fit, but our mission aligned and we did something with it. I've worked one time with a doctor of self-worth. He was a guest on my show, and I actually did a session And he pretty much helped me with understanding that people manipulating me are the problem. I'm not the problem. We've also worked with several organizations. I'm an ambassador for the Flutie Foundation up in Massachusetts. And I make a film foundation in Los Angeles, which is Make-A-Wish, but with movies.
Wow. So how does that work?
How does that work? Well, it works like this. We work together. We donate sometimes to each other, if we can. Mm-hmm. And I promote them.
Oh, I see. But you don't actually make the film. Like, who are they making the films for? Somebody who's dying?
Yep. Yep. I haven't helped with the films. It's just I promote them because I think their work is near and dear to my heart because of just, I mean, cancer is killing people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see these innocent children go through this battle that just makes them could die.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to see a child die?
No. Right. Yeah. No, it's a very good cause. I wish we could help them not die, right?
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I just had a couple of people. Well, the one that's airing tomorrow, he had been, he wasn't a child, but he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he turned it around. The guy that I talked to today, same thing, was diagnosed with a year. He figured out how to make it go away. Very interesting. So maybe, I don't know if they can do anything with the Make-A-Wish people, you know?
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, okay. So when did you decide you wanted to, be a spokesperson for autism?
That was when actually I got invited to speak in Oklahoma. My first time speaking on big stage. I'd done some small speeches here and there, but not like on a big center stage with over 50 people, except classmates. But that was my first big one. It went well. Then just people started seeing me more, started talking to me more. More people wanted to hear the story of Sam Mitchell, apparently. And it went well. I made money off of it because I was had an entrepreneurial side to me. Always have, really. I remember as a child wanting to sell lemonade to make some money just because of the heck of it, really.
So how'd you make money from the speaking engagement?
Well, we charge them a certain amount because of distance. We have to go out.
Okay.
We'll definitely drive there if needed, or we'll fly. But ask that our flight and hotel be paid for because that's how we have to stay funded. So part of it is for the nonprofit to stay funded, but it's not the money. The goal is to literally give parents hope. I just got back from Daniels, West Virginia. During my speech, I saw in the corner of my eye one of the fathers bawling because he probably had no hope for his son. His son was diagnosed with autism, had a hard time socializing from what I can understand and see. But after seeing me, he saw that, okay, my son's going to make it. It's
wow. Wow. That's incredible. So how did the Oklahoma people find you to begin with?
Somehow with social media. They found me on Facebook somehow.
And what was the group that you spoke for?
It was the Griffin Promise Autism Clinic in Broken Arrows, Oklahoma. Great place. Wonderful staff members. Mm. They get to big kids all day by doing what they call play therapy, which is basically playing with the child or the adult too, because some have my 3-year-olds. But while playing, there's therapy, they're teaching. So maybe to earn a tickle on their toe, they have to try to say SpongeBob.
How does the tickle on your toe relate to SpongeBob?
Well, the tickle on the toe relates to SpongeBob because they're trying to say SpongeBob, like, oh my god, it's SpongeBob! And he's like, SpongeBob! Or something like that. And his reward for saying SpongeBob is a tickle on the toe.
Oh, okay.
Of the STEMI, and those on spectrum are pretty deep in with touch. Sometimes okay. I like to be touched. I don't mind it. I would rather, if I could, I could be curled up in a ball all day with my parents.
So you like touch?
I do like touch.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So from Oklahoma, then where'd you go?
I went to Canada. Then I went to Orlando. No, I said I didn't get to see Mickey Mouse. I wish I would have, though. I went, let's see, where else did I go? Back to Orlando one more time. Then I went to Stuart, Florida. Mm. Back to Washington, D.C. Back to Orlando. And then recently, West Virginia.
And that's all to speak?
Yes. At comedy.
So do you have to write a speech? Do you write a speech ahead of time?
Well, what we do is we try to align it with the place. So I say one was about technology. Oh, I forgot. But after Oklahoma, I went to Canada. I forgot to mention that one.
Yeah.
During the Canada one, for example, that one was about technology and helping those with the autism spectrum. Now, I have my own beliefs on technology, but I do think it's a positive side. I think there's a great side to it. So I talked about how technology assisted me in my personal life. But then there was one in Orlando called PodFest. So we asked, switch it up a little bit. That one was about how the podcasting journey of Sam Mitchell helped me.
Mm. And what did you say?
Well, what I said was pretty much told my story. I said, podcasting gave me this, and it gave me this, and it gave me this.
Mm. So does someone help you write it, or you just write it yourself?
Family, mom.
Oh,
Mama helps. But
yeah.
I try to make it to where these are requirements. Do what you want with it. That's what we had more with going to college. It used to be we could sit down and work on it together. But because of classes and college, no, that's just not humanly possible.
Right.
Sometimes we still can if we're Zooming, but when we're not, I just tell her, here's what you can do. What else you got? Show it to me before. I'll approve it later. If I think it's kind of dumb or this stuff needs to be fixed, I'll let you know.
So who's that to? Your mom? She doesn't write it. She writes it for you?
Well, not write it for me. She, I just tell her what to do, and then she'll do the typing. But then if she has suggestions, she'll put it in.
Okay. That's nice. Oh. So what did you say about the technology when you were in Canada?
Well, I talked about the technology of podcasting, where my podcasting started. It started with $70 in a PayPal account. But now up to date, I think I've over like more money than I ever thought I would ever have. Like, I think it's above 9,000 at least.
Wow. Now, do you make money from your podcast?
Mm-hmm. That's where I make the podcast, the money. It's through the speaking engagements. I actually learned recently, I had one coming up when we were doing this interview. I got a text from her saying, you got one in December. Okay. And then we also do events. So one event we're going to be doing, hopefully in December, is Breakfast with Santa, which means you're going to have the kids and families can go to our location we decide to, have pancakes and waffles for breakfast. They get a picture with Santa. Whoever the Santa is, that's maybe a TBD. But then we also think about the same time in the afternoon having a Christmas cookie contest where competitors enter the contest by making some Christmas cookies. They bring it to the judging place or the place where we're going to host it. Get the judges, probably my grandma and grandpa, and then a friend of mine. And it's only judged on taste and appearance. Whoever gets the most points is the winner.
Now, is this specifically for autism or for anybody?
It's specifically for autism.
Okay.
But we're raising money for autism doing the event.
Okay. But how do you make the money? So I'm just asking because mine doesn't make money, my show. How do you get is it from speaking or actually from your podcast?
That's part of it. We also do sponsorships.
You do, okay.
Sometimes there'll be ads during my podcast, like the one we're going to have in a little bit. They'll pay me to have me advertise their company. And that sponsorship can be for anybody. I just won't do anything illegal.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to sell, you know, I'm not going to advertise an adult store. Don't imagine me doing that ever.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. So people, it seems like people just find you, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So what else would you like to talk about?
Well, I mean, I can tell you some facts. I'm a big pro wrestling fan. I've had Mick Foley on, Al Snow, RVD, Raven, Victoria, Buff Bagwell, Kane.
What do you mean Raven? Raven? Who's Raven?
Raven was a wrestler in ECW.
Oh, okay.
A lot of personality disorders, histrionic personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, and borderline personality disorder.
Whoa. All right.
But he wasn't mean. I thought I was going to be mean because of those personality disorders, but I'll admit it, I was wrong.
So they just agree. How do you contact these people?
Through their publicist. Oh, okay. I had others. So I was on a wrestling podcast once, and they helped behind the scenes to get Mick Foley on. I appreciate that. But most of the others was through contact. A couple of them were through a convention I went to called the Square Circle Expo. Mm-hmm. And when I was up there in Indy, I asked on the show, guys, oh, yeah, sure, let's do it. Great.
So how long are your episodes?
Well, it's a variety. I try to hit the sweet spot. In my opinion, everyone has their own view on a sweet spot. Mine's 30 to 45, but some have been 1 hour and above. Some have been 9 minutes. One was literally 2 hours. And that one, if you're wondering what it was about, was talking about Marvel.
Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel Cinematic Universe, like Hulk, Iron Man, Thanos.
Yeah, wow. And who were you talking to?
Well, I was trying to talk to those on a special, but I was comparing the superheroes and the supervillains and the history of it to the autism spectrum disorder.
Wow. And what did you figure out?
Well, I mean, this is a basic one. I mean, Hulk was angry and mad and smashing, as he called it. Hulk can relate to autism because sometimes we can become the Hulk and smash.
Interesting. Who else? Who else was?
That's one I could think of off the top of my head. You got to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah.
So, that was back in, I think, 2021. I've slept since then.
All right. That's okay. I just thought that was interesting. Wow. Okay. Cool. All right. So, what else? What else do you want to tell us?
Well, let me see what else I can tell you about me. I mean, in my last year of college, hopefully when I get out, I can be a radio DJ, maybe once I get out of there. And then, what else is going on in my life right now? Clearly, the holidays are coming up. That's exciting. I think for Christmas, I'm excited. I'm getting wrestling pay-per-view tickets to the Royal Rumble. It's a big wrestling pay-per-view. It's where it's pretty cool. 32 wrestlers start, and every 90 minutes, another wrestler will be in the ring. And that goes on until all the participants are in. The way to win is to send opponents over the top rope with both feet hitting the floor. The last person standing after all 29 participants are eliminated is the winner, and they get a prize to go to WrestleMania and try a challenge for a World Heavyweight or a WWE Championship. It's my mom and ours favorite it's my mom's favorite pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you like about wrestling?
The fact that it's not, for me, it's UFC and MMA is great, but it's all punches and kicks. Wrestling is a show, but it's also, in my view, I know it's fake. People have said that it is, but there's real risk to it. You can't deny that. And it's more than just a punch and a kick. It's lifting them up and slamming them. It's tackling them. You gotta have a mix of variety of moves. It's not just like that's boring.
Right. Do you think it's scripted out?
It probably scripted out, but they're taking real risk. I mean, there's been injuries for a reason. If they mess up that move, they're done for.
Yeah.
I think one guy in 2015, when he flipped over the guy, he tweaked his knee. And I think it was very close. He was close to retiring because of that knee injury.
Mm.
He had been on a long road to rehabilitation.
Yes. Well, in the old days, it was more boxing, I think. Now, the wrestling is bigger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boxing used to be big. You know, Muhammad Ali and those guys, do you know about them?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Well, like Muhammad Ali, because of just how popular he is. And he was actually a special guest referee in WrestleMania 1, which was in 1985.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to go to our commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some more. So think about more stories you have for us. All right. And we'll be right back. Okay.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. It's a experiential social emotional learning platform that you can bring into your schools, you can bring into your teams, bring into your businesses, and it helps people get more connected socially. And just you have to experience, it's experiential, so you have to experience it. So go to KikoriApp.com and schedule a consultation. And then, as always, my books I like to promote so you know about them. I have my first memoir, which is The Second Piece of French Toast. If Marriage Was My Dream, Why Was I Numbing Myself? So if you find yourself numbing yourself, you might want to read my book and get inspired about how I got out of my little stuck place and created a life I love. So that was my first book. You can find it on Amazon. Then we have the book for my commercial, which is Real Talk. This, what I learned writing the first book was that I didn't speak up. I was a people pleaser and a pleasant phony, and I just said everything was fine. Well, once I started speaking, I got to really have the life I wanted instead of the life I was trying to have for others. So you can go to realtalkwithhillary.com and check it out, take the quiz, order the book, and schedule time to chat. And then this, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, is my third book about, well, the subtitle is How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun. I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't always perky and peppy like my mother wanted me to be. And I was always trying to fix that part of myself. Well, when I finally accepted it, I started having way more fun and started developing techniques so that other people could also accept themselves and have more fun as well. And now we're going to bring our very special guest, Sam Mitchell, back to the studio. Hello, Sam.
Hey, good to be back. Definitely good to be back.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to read your goal or what it says on your website. Is that okay with you?
You're ready.
Okay, good. All right.
So I can't stop you. All I can do is leave, but I'm not going to do that to you. So,
to read it?
No, I'm just messing with you. Physically. I can't be like.
Okay. Yeah. No, he can't stop me. Okay. I just thought this was very inspiring. I'll probably start crying. So here's his goal that's on his website. Sam is a high-functioning human being on the autism spectrum, but he has a mission to show people that he is not broken, does not need to be fixed. There is no normal in this world, and he is successful with autism. Sam wants to celebrate the successes of all. He embraces who he is and feels as though everyone should do the same. His mission has caught on, and this powerful and extraordinary idea is catching on and gotten the world's attention. People are differently abled, not disabled.
Well, thank you for that. Yep, that is definitely a firm belief of mine. I think we all have our challenges, and it's not fair to consider it disabled, because if you want to get really real, you should just go get real. Let's get real. We really all are disabled.
That's for sure. And what makes you say that? How are other people who think they're normal disabled, would you say?
Wait, what? That just that flew over my head.
So you're saying there's no normal, but you're saying that we all are disabled. Like, how would, someone might say, oh, you have autism, you're disabled. You're saying, no, we're not. How would you think that someone who does not have autism is disabled?
Because they're not Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect. There's something they struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
You, for example, if you asked me to do a math problem, and if I didn't do the math problem, and you said, well, you're going to do the math problem or the Earth would die. Well, Earth's going to die, buddy, because I cannot do math for the life of me. I've tried it, and it doesn't go well.
Okay.
There's something I bet you stink at.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be math. It may be English. It may be organizing. It might be trying to eat a burrito and not get food on your face. There's something you're not good at. But do you know what? I bet you there's better things we're both good at than not good at. Let's focus on what we're good at. How about mm-hmm. that?
I love it. Okay. Awesome. Writing that down. Let's focus on what we're good at. It's a great thing. I don't think most of us do. I think we focus on what we're not, I don't know why, but that seems to be what happens. Okay. So this says that the mission has caught on. How would you say that you've expanded, what's the word? People's knowledge or, I can't think of the word, of autism. Do you think you single-handedly have done that?
I think for some, yes, but we still got a lot of work. Great example is I had a podcast recently, and I didn't have it. I was actually on it. It was in India. Now, from what I've heard, no offense to India. I never heard of anything bad about India. I mean, I heard Taj Mahal is great. But from what I've heard, India doesn't perceive autism the correct way. They think it's a problem. Well, I had to go on this podcast, and the host was Indian. After my speech and me telling him, no, this is what it is, to a point, he was like, oh, now I see it's not a problem.
Wow.
But before that interview, he thought it was a problem.
Wow.
Well, I can tell he was a great guy, but it was the way India taught autism.
Well, I think, when people are different...
I mean, I'm thankful where I live today. I don't mean to interrupt you, but...
Yeah, it's fine.
People do not perceive autism in the best way. The best place for autism-friendly is America.
Wow.
Maybe Canada, too. But, like, maybe Mexico, not for sure on that. But anywhere outside of our area, like Europe, Europe, Australia, I think, too. Definitely Europe. South America... It's not perceived right, and they pretty much, what I understand, ignore it.
What do you mean ignore? Ignore that it's there or ignore helping people?
Like if a kid, if an autism child in China was having a meltdown, they pretty much probably spanked their butt. Versus me in America, in my opinion, is like, oh, let's help them out.
Wow. And how would they help you?
Well, they would help me probably by getting me away from the environment or get rid of the trigger that's causing the meltdown. I don't have any more, but as a child, I had meltdowns.
Well, I think a lot of kids have meltdowns, but I mean, it's good advice for any parent. I think, you know, sometimes you're just so stressed and you don't know how to deal with it, you know?
But we got a problem. You said a lot of kids have meltdowns. I'm going to disagree with you. I think a lot of kids have temper tantrums, but okay. I think is different from a meltdown.
It is.
A child being a spoiled brat, because children can be spoiled sometimes. That's them fussing over not getting a teddy bear. But a meltdown is because of sensory. That is probably because of they don't like the cold and they're feeling the chilly vibes in the freezer aisle. When they hit that feeling, bam, they're done.
Oh. Wow. So it's sense? I didn't know that.
I have nothing against the cold. Like, I can go into the freezer aisle. Mine's sensory issues. Like, if this t-shirt were to get wet right now, it kind of stinks because it was raining. If I got this t-shirt, like, soaking wet, like, it's, like, wet from top to bottom, it's like, oh, get this thing off of me. This is so torturous.
So are all meltdowns, I mean, you're teaching me something here, are all meltdowns sensory related?
Most of them, yes.
Really? Say that again?
A lot of them, yes.
Okay. So it could be any kind. It could be noise. It could be light, right? Or no?
Light. Could be light. It could be a feeling. Maybe someone touched them because someone likes to touch, and boom, they're on the floor.
So, I mean, how do you know? How does, I guess the parents would learn, right, if it's their child.
You would have to learn by knowing your child, how they are, because you're going to know your child more than anyone. But then, two, to do the research, to learn about the difference between tantrums and meltdowns, or try to dig deeper into the conversation we just had.
Right. Yeah. But so let's say, if you go back to the law enforcement, if they encounter someone with autism, or anybody, I mean, it could be anybody, but they don't know what their specific sensory issue is, right?
Right. And the way they law enforcement has to do it is they have to look out for the signs. So one way to do it is you can actually directly ask the child, are you on the spectrum, buddy? Or on the autism spectrum? They'll tell you straight up, for one thing. But you have to know the signs. I mean, you have to know the signs.
What are the signs?
Well, stimming's one thing. Stimming is like doing this, flopping their arm, rocking back and forth, like I may have done a couple times. Repetitive behaviors, talking about restricted interests. These conversation skills kind of stink.
What is stimmy? Can you say that again? Stimmy?
Like flapping, doing that. Like I made that times. Sometimes those on spectrum are non-speaking too. Like their way of communication is grunts. Like, or, ooh. Like that's their way of saying something. And I wasn't making fun of them. That's literally how they talk sometimes.
So how do they communicate?
Well, they do it through their actions or sign language. Mm-hmm. I had a West Virginia conference I was at. One child literally signed down because he was tired of being held up. Like being picked up and he wanted down. So he signaled, hey, put me down here, please. But I think it was some of his fingers. I think it was that.
Wow. So I mean, I think, I'm just going to say for myself, like I really haven't had much exposure to people with autism, except lately people have been talking about it more. One of the women I interviewed has had two children, so she started that group. But I wouldn't think to just ask direct questions like you just said. You know, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't know. Let's say you see someone in a wheelchair, right? You're thinking, and I'm just using that as an example. You know, can you ask them, why are you in a wheelchair? How do you like your wheelchair? You know, like, it's almost like, I don't know if you learn not to speak about it or you don't want to make them uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it hasn't been something that, like, I, you know, having a conversation like this, like, I can ask you anything and you're cool about it. You know, I don't know if I would have thought to do that, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people overthink it. But part of the problem is they're scared of those with disabilities. And it could be for a lot of reasons. One is because of the way they look. You know, I mean, just maybe it's the physical appearance in the wheelchair, because some on spectrum are mobily handicapped. Mm-hmm. Some are just because of hygiene. Those on spectrum sometimes lack hygiene. So sometimes if they go into a room, and because of not putting enough deodorant, their pits are staking up the whole room. This can talk to them. Or they just don't know how to. And they're afraid of, if they say the wrong thing, it's going to set them off.
Right.
Example, actually, my grandfather, greatest guy you'll ever meet. And he's came a long way with me, too, since he's got to know me. But he told me in his episode, I think in the season finale, too, of my podcast, back in the day, if someone was disabled, he was scared. And it wasn't because he was scared of who they are, of how they were. It was just a scare of saying the wrong thing, and bam, it's off.
Right. Yeah. Or that attending someone or something.
Recognize as it is today.
Yeah. So that was your grandfather. Wow. Now, do you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, God, no, I kill people.
What? You don't? Oh,
no, I said, oh, God, no, I kill people.
So you're his only child?
Yeah, uno. I got two friends that act like brothers. That's enough for me.
Okay, cool. Wow. All righty. And, okay, so what else? You were saying the sign. So we got, are there any other signs that people would know? I mean, well, should know?
A lot of the signs are similar to a lot of others. Sometimes spectrum have a temper, anger issue, but it's like over-the-top aggression issues. Like, they will literally put you in a rear naked choke because they are pissed. Let me put it that way. They are mad. Sometimes we're not patient. I'm not the most patient person out there. I got a trigger. Mine's with electronics. Like, but we tried recording earlier. Before I came back on, I definitely cussed out my phone. Let's put it that way. Another trigger is they overthink everything. Like, I overthink the smallest details alive.
Mm.
The anxiety is one. I have major anxiety, too. Sometimes it can be very crippling. They overthink the non-speaking communication. So I'm not talking about conversation like we're doing right now. I'm talking about body language, eye rolls, facial expressions, gestures. And then let me think of another one here. There's a lot of them too. And then sometimes we can be very unreasonable with our decisions.
Mm. Like what? Like, what's an unreasonable decision?
Well, we did this one. Back a while back ago, this has been a long time. Mm-hmm. I had wisdom tooth surgery and it hurt bad. Like, you, I don't know if you've had wisdom tooth surgery, but if you do, oh my God, worst pain alive, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But because it was so bad, I felt like, well, I need to, like, just go stay in the chair. Because in my brain, if I'm there, I can trick my mind thinking, okay, I'm getting help. I know I'm not, kind of, but in my brain, it's like, okay, at least I'm here at the dentist's office. Mm-hmm. So I suggested, well, can we just go sit in the parking lot and just, like, chill for a little bit? That way I know I'm there to a point. And keep in mind, this was, like, at nighttime when most businesses are closed. So finally, after begging and begging and begging. I got my request because it was like out of the ball, like tears. And I was like, oh my God, this hurts so bad. So what did we do after to calm down? After begging, we literally got in the car, drove to the parking lot of the dentist's office at nighttime for me to calm down, because in my brain, I was there. Although I was getting help, at least in my brain, I was getting help by being at the office.
Okay. Did it help?
Oh, it did help. Yeah. It helped tremendously.
So why was that it was unreasonable, but not bad unreasonable. It was actually good unreasonable.
You always believe that too. If no one's bleeding and no one's dying and no one's hurting, even if it may sound a little cuckoo, do it. Because I had a wisdom tooth and I was sitting in that parking lot, there was no blood on the floor.
Right.
No one was injured. Right. And no one was taking their last breath.
Right. Okay. So it helped. So it was good. All right. That's amazing. Okay. So what else? What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of what else I can bring up for you. I mean, something else that is I'm carrying with my life is I just learned an old connection came back with me. I just learned that I think also in December I might be doing another speaking engagement at an adult high school up in Indy. It's where those not on the spectrum, but anyone can go back to school if they're an adult because of they dropped out. They were a good kid, but made a wrong choice and then got pregnant while in school still. But after they're at a good point, they're alive, they can go back to school.
And you're speaking there?
As far as I know for now, yes. But I'm still working the kinks of it. I just learned a few. I learned it literally when we were on this interview.
How did you learn? Oh, it came across your phone?
Yeah, it came across my phone. And then it was on silent mode, but then I was ready to briefly read. I was like, they're going to pay you $800 to speak in Indy. Oh, okay.
Wow. So what would you speak to them about, you think?
Well, it would probably be like any other ordinary school presentation I've done. Mm-hmm. Then we take breaks because we got to keep their attention, have fun, and plus have fun too. But also talking about what they can do and if there's someone, especially in the audience, what they can do to be nice to each other and be kind to one another. But also tell them if you had roadblocks, you could still get through them because you're here for a reason. I mean, maybe you didn't get pregnant, but because you're running with the wrong crowd, you dropped out. It's never too late to do the right thing and switch your life around and go back to school.
Wow. You're a wise young man. You are here for a reason, never too late. I mean, those are things that some people never learn, right? Now, you had said that you have anxiety, but you seem to be fine speaking to large groups and all that. Does that ever bother you, or that's not the kind of anxiety you have?
And yes. So, no, but I have to prep for it. So the way I prep is literally within 15 minutes before I speak, I will find the smallest place or the most less crowded place, mainly the bathroom out of everywhere. Lovely. Where I can hear not people just using the bathroom, but I'll put on my headphones and listen to music. Music is a soothing tool for me deeply. Rock and roll is the main one for me to go to.
Oh, that's why it's called Autism Rocks and Rolls.
You got it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying rock and roll music is one of my special interests.
So what's one of your favorite songs?
AC/DC. Oh, you meant songs. Okay. I thought you wanted artists. My apologies.
But... Well, that's okay. I'll take whatever you got.
Well, a tie for artist-wise is AC/DC and Nickelback. Okay. But my favorite songs in particular is A Whole Lot of Rosie by AC/DC, Coin for the Ferryman by Nickelback, and then I also like ZZ Top. So, Sharp Dressed Man, Give Me All Your Lovin', Layer Skin's pretty good, Can't Go Wrong with Freebird. Then I go shaking your legs with Elvis Presley. I mean, Jailhouse Rock, that's a classic. And then Jerry Lewis, I know he's piano, but I love goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
That's awesome.
Cool. I was born in the wrong generation when it comes to music.
What would you like to say to the audience in closing about your message or your vision for the world?
Well, I just think don't ever give up the life. If someone finds you interesting, they're going to find you interesting. It may just take some time. And I always like to end with this. And this is just, I think, not really words of wisdom, but life. If the world could be nice and not act so stupid, don't you think we get along so much better?
Say that again.
If the world could be nice and not get accepted, we get along so much better.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sam. You're really an inspiring young man, and I appreciate your what you're doing for the world. You know, it's really incredible. So thank you.
Thank you for letting me come on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.